and it can defile the whole body. So just so you'll know that certainly the context is speaking about the tongue, and the idea that James is getting across since he has been preaching to us about our faith and works and how that the things that we do in our life are going to show forth our Christianity and that our relationship with God. I would also say that the way we talk also has a lot to do with our testimony. And I would have you understand that one of the things that the Lord just did for me, and I'm so grateful to Him, that the day I got saved, the very next day, the words that I said were totally different. So I want you to notice with me that really, if you have real faith, if you have true faith and you're really saved, then you're going to have a control of your tongue. Now notice what these first two verses say here this morning. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So James is telling us here that if we can have control over what we say, what comes out of us, then we can have control actually over our whole body. So I'm going to preach this morning on these two verses, hung by the tongue. Father, I pray that You'd bless the reading of Your Scripture. I pray that as we look over these next several weeks at the passage that we're reading about the tongue, what comes out, what we say, what is said, Lord, has a lot to do about who we are. So I pray You would help me to preach this message this morning. And we'll thank You in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The average person in a day usually is involved on an average about 30 conversations in a day. We talk so much that it is estimated that we spend about one-fifth of our life talking. 20% of our life, can you imagine that? We are saying something or we are conversing with other people. If everything that the average person said was recorded in just 1 year, they would fill a library shelf of at least 66 books, 800 pages of very fine print. So I would say to you, we have a lot to say. Would you agree with that? It has been said, now I don't know, I could not confirm this, but I got this from a source that said that in an average day, a man speaks 20,000 words and a woman speaks 30,000 words. Now the problem is by the time a man comes home at night, he's already said his 20,000 and she's still got 10,000 to go. So isn't that true? Yeah. One man said, "Do you ever resent your wife for getting in the last word?" And he said, "No, I'm just glad when she gets it in." Now, here's the idea based from the text. Now, just stay with me. And that is this. Your trouble, your words can get you in trouble. And when you say something, you cannot take it back. It's already out there. It's like the internet. You put it out there, brother, it's out there. It's out there for everyone to see. Now, I want you to tell you the story about a young man working in a supermarket to give you the illustration of what we're going to try to look at over the next several weeks. He was in the produce department, and I worked in a grocery store for 4 years. I never worked in the produce department. I always did not like that area. But this woman comes in, and she says to the young man who's in the produce section, she said, "I'd like to get a half a head of lettuce." And he said, "Ma'am, I don't think we could sell a half a head of lettuce." She said, "Son, I said, I want a half a head of lettuce." He said, "Well, ma'am, let me go back and talk to my manager." So he walks to the back and he begins to say to the manager, "Hey, boss, there's an old lady out here. She's got a face like a hatchet. She looks a little funny and acts a little funny. And she wants a head of lettuce, half a head of lettuce." Then he turns around and there she stood. Now this is talking about the tongue now. And when he turned around and saw the woman, he said, You know, boss, I think we're in luck because this dear lady here wants the other half. All right. So after it was over, now stay with me because the story ain't enough. After it was over, the boss set him down and said, "Son, that was a remarkable recovery. That was unbelievable. I can't believe how good you did that. In fact, you landed right on your feet. I think you're very sharp and I think you're going to go places. Where are you from?" And the young man said, "Well, sir, I'm from Saginaw, Michigan." And he said, "Really?" He said, "Well, what's Saginaw, Michigan known for?" He said, "Great hockey teams and ugly women." His boss said, "My wife is from Saginaw, Michigan." The young man looked back at him and said, "What hockey team does she play for?" Now, I hope that you understand that once it comes out, you can't get it back. You know what I'm saying? You may try to recover over what you say, but your tongue can get you in a lot of trouble. And matter of fact, the words you use and the way you speak, listen to me, is really a sign of your spiritual maturity. Now, I want you to understand something, that the most powerful muscle in the body is also the smallest, and it's not what many people would think, but the most powerful muscle in the body of a person is their tongue. Now, I'm not going to preach the power of the tongue this morning, but we get to verse number 3 and 4, and we find that the tongue is a very powerful muscle in the body. Now, I think you would understand that when you exercise, whether it's your legs or your biceps or you whatever it might be, that if you exercise those muscles, if you do push-ups or set-ups or whatever it might be, that over a period of time that those muscles are going to get stronger and stronger as you exercise. Well, brother, let me tell you the reason why our tongue is so strong, because it gets a lot of exercise. In fact, 20% of our whole life is spent in somehow in talking. And I will preach on the sins of the tongue, and I do believe that they have been very common from the beginning of man. When you begin to understand and record man when he begins to speak in the book of Genesis, right off the bat, he's lying, or he's trying to get out of something, or he's saying something, or trying to blame somebody else. And it's coming out of his mouth, and the reason that it comes out of our mouth is because it's already in our heart. Everybody with me so far? And an unbridled tongue has caused more trouble and more turmoil in the world and in churches and in society as general. You understand that according to what James is going to teach us this morning, he's going to talk about how that the teachers or the masters have responsibility and are going to have a greater condemnation or a greater judgment based on what kind of words they use and what they say and how they say it, meaning that words can give direction and words can be powerful, but words can also bring destruction. And we need to understand this morning that that what the tongue produces is very, very important. That's why James begins in verse 1 when he says, "My brethren, be not many masters." Now, you understand that in the New Testament, there was times that people came up to Jesus Christ, or they might have come up to one of the Pharisees. But we know from the life of Jesus Christ that on several occasions, people would come up to Him and say, "Rabbi." Or master, meaning rabbi. And that idea was a teacher. And so James, of course, is writing to Jewish congregation. And they understand that when he uses the word master, he's talking about somebody that teaches. So I would make the application this morning that someone that teaches or preaches the Word of God, or what they say, how they influence, they need to understand that what you teach and what you preach and what you say, you're going to be held accountable for it even greater than those that you're teaching it. So I would say to you that if you homeschool your children, you're going to be held responsible for how you teach your children. And some people don't do a very good job, and some people do a great job. But you need to understand that you're going to be judged for that. A preacher who stands up and preaches the Word of God is going to be held accountable for what he says. He's going to be held accountable if he preaches wrong or teaches wrong. That's why we must be careful what comes and out of our mouth. And we need to understand that we need to As long as we stick with the Bible, we'll be doing okay. Quit listening to other influences and other sources. And you would not believe how many times on a weekly basis or a monthly basis books I get in the mail that's got my name on it or some kind of article or something, or read this or the next greatest thing or the next... I got one this past week. Oh, and I opened it up and I got a letter and it said, this is the new book and blah, 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 blah. And I read the title of it and it says, What Your Dreams Tell About You. And then so I opened it up and I flipped through it, and one of the things it said was, there's nowhere in the Word of God that it says that dreams are not meaningful, and therefore you need to read this book to understand your dreams mean to you. You know what I did with that book? I threw it in the garbage. Then I thought about it. Man, my wife, she has some dreams she tells me. Maybe I need to go pull that out and read that. No. God doesn't speak through dreams today. Let me get that out of my mouth. Let me say that out loud. Let me say that the Bible does say that in the day in which we live, that God speaks through the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the way, that Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way and He is the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by Him. But we understand there's many people that are preaching and teaching things that are not true whatsoever. And so again, going back to this text here, he said the word master here means a teacher. It just simply means a teacher. And in the Jewish culture, teachers were held in great admiration. You know, we've got our culture, and this is not even in my notes, but I just thought our culture has got everything backwards. I mean, we should have great reverence for teachers, police officers, firemen, pastors, people in authority such as that. And those people are being demised in every way. And the great heroes of the day are the athletes and the Hollywood people. And I care what a Hollywood person says about the situation. Do I really care what some athlete says about current events? I really don't. He can keep his opinion to himself as far as I'm concerned. But I will tell you what comes from this pulpit and what is preached from the Word of God is important. So the word rabbi here is talking about someone who instructs or is involved in directing other people's lives. Here's what James says. That is a solemn responsibility. Now, I want to tell you right now, I've already opened my mouth now, haven't I? I believe people who teach evolution and it's not true are going to be held accountable for it. I believe people who teach and preach from a pulpit baptismal regeneration or works for salvation, they're going to receive the greater damnation for teaching that heresy and teaching things that are actually taking people to a Christless hell. I'm saying to you that James wants us to understand, and because James wrote it under the inspiration of God, God wants us to understand that what the tongue produces is very important for us to understand. You know, if you're young in the faith, don't be over anxious to impart the knowledge that you have, because it's not really that much. Rather, you need to study and learn and grow in spiritual matters. And James says, knowing that the teacher shall receive the greater condemnation, meaning that the person who is teaching and preaching will receive a greater judgment for what he teaches and what he preaches. Now, I will tell you this. I believe that our church should be known for the preaching of the Word of God. It should be known from the words that are spoken. And I want you to understand that preaching and teaching the Word of God is a great privilege and great responsibility. You know why? Because it affects people's lives. Now, I don't change lives. God changes lives. The words I say don't necessarily change lives. But if I preach the Bible, it will change people's lives. Therefore, it is so important for the children and the teenagers to listen to what does God say. By the way, God knows more than we do. And because ministry affects the lives of others, God will judge the teacher. He will judge the preaching of the Word of God, because the Bible makes it clear, that privilege, with privilege comes responsibility, and with responsibility brings accountability. And so the Lord's going to hold us responsible for the things we teach and the things we preach. And that's what James is saying here in verse 1, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You understand with me that Jesus Christ spoke these very same things and was trying to get people to understand? Because if you remember back in the book of Mark when we were preaching, Jesus gave this principle when He said this in verse 38 through 40 of John chapter 12. He said, And He said unto them in His doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feast, which at the same time they're wanting all that. He said they're devouring widows' houses. For a pretense they make long prayers. And then Jesus said this, they shall receive a greater condemnation. Why is that? Because they were supposed to be the caretakers of the Word of God. They were supposed to be the men that when somebody would come, they would say, can you help me from the Scriptures? Can you tell me what the law says concerning this matter in my life? But rather than that, they were only concerned about themselves. They were only concerned about their power. They were only concerned about their prestige. They were only concerned about what people thought about them, not who they really were. And Jesus said, they shall receive the greater damnation. You see, the preacher should use his tongue to expose the Scripture. He should use the tongue from the Word of God to establish the saint. He should use the Word of God to exhort us to do that which is pleasing unto the Lord. The Word of God encourages us who needs it. It edifies us. And all of this is to be done from the Word of God. And I want you to understand this morning, it's a serious matter not only to preach the Word of God, but it is also a very important matter to set under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. We should not be the same today as we were on January 1st, 2016. We should not be the same 1 year from now if the Lord tarries His coming or we're still alive. 1 year from now in 2018, which is next year, we shouldn't be the same. We should be closer to the Lord than we were. We should have received more instruction from the Word of God. We should know how that we should speak and how we shouldn't speak, and how that it's going to... Listen, what you say today can affect the rest of your life. I don't think people sometimes grab a hold of that situation, understanding that their actions, their attitude, and what they say can literally follow them all the days of their life. You see, it's a serious matter. And if we fail in this matter of teaching, declaring the whole counsel of God, God's going to hold us accountable, especially the preacher who is preaching and teaching. He's accountable if he misleads his hearers. And I want you to understand, whether it's done through ignorance or through neglect, we need to be careful and take the matter of the Word of God very seriously. Now, here's how can we apply that? Well, you need to understand that whatever is preached from the pulpit, if it's the truth coming from God's Word, and you heard it, then you're going to be held accountable for it. There's some people that come to church with cotton in their ears. They're thinking about what they're going to do after church, or they're thinking about what they're going to do tomorrow, or they're thinking about some project, and they're not listening to the Word of God. Hey, listen, that's neglect. You'll be held responsible for that also. You know, and I understand and James has already dealt with the false prophets in his day. And you know what? False prophets have been in every culture. Every culture. It seems like they get more wicked, more demonic, more brazen. But I'm telling you, my friend, whether it's the benevolent, kind person who teaches error in works for salvation or baptismal regeneration, or whatever it might be, is going to be held just as accountable for teaching that heresy as a Muslim who would rather kill people I said that religion, according to their own sayings, would say, if they don't convert, then annihilate. And so I'm just saying to you this morning that Paul was able to say this, which is an amazing thought process. He said, "Wherefore I take unto you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Can you imagine being able to say that? Because Paul said this to those young men that he was preaching to there from the church at Ephesus as he was headed toward Rome in the Acts chapter 20. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." You know, we get in trouble when we desire to be accepted by everybody. We get in great trouble when and so we want to say things that are always pleasing, but we need to be careful that we say things that are true, but we can do it with a right spirit and attitude. I'm not well beloved by everybody. But I'd rather be well beloved by God and say the right thing than to say something that is in error and is outside of the Scriptures. You see, Paul had Paul been careless and negligent about proclaiming and explaining God's Word, he would have been guilty of the hearer's blood. And Paul said, "I didn't want that." And he would actually say that I came, when I believe it was to the Corinthians, he said, "You know how I came to you. I came to you in fear and I came to you in trembling. I was scared to death of the situation and didn't know anybody, but I was declared and I was determined that I was going to have them not know anything outside of the preaching of Jesus Christ, and I wanted them to know that Jesus Christ was real, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that Jesus Christ paid for their sin, that Jesus Christ will save them." And you know what? I'm afraid that we have gotten so Christianized that we have failed in our responsibility to be a speaker of the Word and not just a hearer of the Word. Let me ask you this. How many people did you witness to last year? How many people with the tongue did you actually give the gospel to and tell them the way of salvation? You say, "Well, preacher, I'm telling you, if I do that at school, I'm telling you, man, everybody would know about it. And next thing you know, I'd be eating at the cafeteria table by myself." I'd rather eat at the cafeteria table by myself and know that I told the truth and I gave the gospel. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. And that's not just for school, that's for work. That's in our everyday life. That's the people that we interact with. You see, we cannot say, "Boy, I'm telling you, go ahead, preacher, preach about that master teacher, preach about the judgment that they're going to receive for what they say." Well, listen, why don't we just kind of turn the tables and say, "Hey, we might be judged for like what we don't say." When given the opportunity and the responsibility to speak. Paul was not careless. Paul was not negligent. James says those responsible for proclaiming the Word of God will receive greater judgment for what they seek. Because here's what he said in verse number 2, moving right along here. He said, "For in many things we offend all." Now this means, the word offend here means to fail, to stumble, or to err. "For in many things we fail." Did you hear me? In many matters we stumble. In many matters we offend. We fail. The truth of the matter is, no one is exempt in regards to the danger of the tongue. Now I will ask you this, because I know it's happened to me. Have you ever said something and then you go, "Wished I could take that back"? But you can't. That's why we need to understand, James goes on to say, "If any man offend not in word." So if you don't fail in the word, if you don't stumble in what you say, if you don't err what comes out of your mouth, James said this, now that's a mature man. That's a person. Isn't it amazing, people who think they're mature, when it comes out, when the things that they say or the actions that they take, unfortunately, you find out real fast they're not as mature as maybe they thought they were. Because we understand the word perfect here means mature. It doesn't mean sinless of any kind. It's a word that's been used several times throughout the Word of God. But James uses this illustration to get us to understand how that the tongue guides and controls. Listen, the tongue guides and controls the whole course of our life. I said it earlier, but words can be given for direction or words can be given for destruction. Sometimes we would be better off just keep the mouth shut and not let the tongue out.
Keep your teeth down and don't let it out.
Because once it gets out, it's like a snake with venom. No wonder David said this in Psalm 39:1. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. What we say shows how much maturity we actually have. The tongue controls the course of our life. What you say matters. The testimony of what comes out of your tongue reveals your heart. And if you have a heart for God, your tongue will reveal this. So here's what I would say to you this morning. Don't get hung by the tongue. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed. Now James is going to go on to tell us that the tongue has great power. And we'll deal with that next week. But I want you to understand something this morning. The Bible is very clear when it comes to the matter of the tongue. A very powerful muscle in the body. Very powerful. But you need to listen to me. According to what we looked at these first couple of verses this morning, understanding that what the tongue produces is very, very important. So in 2017, the very first Sunday of the year, I want to ask you this. Are you willing to use your tongue to praise the Lord and glorify God and be a witness? Or are you going to use your tongue for destruction and saying just whatever comes out of your heart? Because the tongue can hurt severely. And of course, we understand that in just a little few verses down, he's going to talk about how the tongue is like a little member that can set on a fire from hell. It only takes a little match, a cigarette butt thrown out the window to cause a great, great destruction. So you're going to have to make a decision this morning. If you're going to use your tongue for the honor of God's glory, or are you going to use it for destruction? Father, I pray this morning, thank you for the simplicity of the Scripture. Thank you for James just setting us right straight forth and saying that it does matter what you say and how you teach. That what comes out, Lord, we're going to be held accountable for. We will be judged. And Lord, that we can fail in the matter of the tongue, that we can stumble very easily if our heart is not in tune with Thee. So I pray, Lord, that we might grab a hold of our heart and give it to You, so that if our heart is with You, so will our tongue be. Help us, Lord, to understand what we say is very important. Probably the most destructive thing on the face of the earth is gossip. Lord, I believe You deal with that also in this text, and we'll deal with it as we come. So I pray, Lord, we might understand the power of the tongue. We might understand not only the power of the tongue, but we also might understand the responsibility that we hold as we teach and preach to other people and what we say. How we can bring destruction to other people just by what we say. So I pray, Lord, that You would speak to our heart as only You can. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. We're going to sing page 250.